ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis, the host of Politics Now. And sometimes it can be hard to cut through all the noise from the Canberra bubble. But on the Politics Now podcast, bursting it wide open is our core business. I'm joined by the brightest minds at the ABC to break down the poly speak and have a chat about what's actually going on behind the scenes. It's called Politics Now, and you can find it on ABC Listen.
It's the most lucrative sports broadcast deal in history, worth $5.3 billion over 7 years. For the first time, the NRL has landed more than the AFL, which secured just $4.5 billion. Today, sports media expert Merin Sherwood from La Trobe Uni on how the rugby league managed it and who ultimately pays the cost. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
Well, we might start if everyone's ready. Good morning, everyone. Normally, these press announcements are bad news, but today they're very good news.
Merin, the NRL is now worth more than the AFL. And, well, Peter Vallandis, the chair of the Australian Rugby League Commission, is over the moon about it, isn't he?
He is.
We're about to announce the highest ever media broadcast deal in Australian sports history.
And it has been a long-standing goal of his to get the NRL in a better broadcast rights position than the AFL. And I think a lot of people thought that it just wasn't going to be possible. That's why this deal and the figure is actually really impressive for the way that it's really come together and the value that the NRL have got out of the deal.
In the past 5 years, we have changed the game, effectively doubling the audience. We are now the most viewed program in Australia and in the Pacific. Don't listen to what other people tell you, especially some down south. We are the number one viewed sport in Australia.
Yeah, well, Peter Vallandis, of course, he doesn't even like to mention the AFL by name, does he?
No, he's certainly very competitive in this space.
I don't know anything called AFL. Is it FLA, isn't it?
Yeah, he really is the NRL or nothing. And, you know, he went into these negotiations, Merin, in a very powerful position, didn't he? Because this is a game that broadcasters want.
Certainly it is. And I think looking back now, what we can see is that the NRL have actually been really strategic about the way that they have added value, and there is more value coming for broadcasters in the NRL. So the rule changes that they have put through in recent years have led to faster games. They've led to more tries. And so we are seeing that come through in higher ratings. They are, of course, also adding content. So from next year, we'll have a new NRL team.
The Perth Bears have taken the first steps to building an NRL team by appointing their inaugural coach. Experienced operator Mal Meninga wants to help the new franchise find its identity.
And that will mean another game, so another 2 hours of content. And then obviously they're forecasting at the moment to a new team from Papua New Guinea coming in, potentially in 2028, and then a 20th team that could add another game. As well as that, they also have the women's game. And that's actually been going gangbusters, and I think is actually really important to the commercial value of this deal. I mean, it's not just a nice add-on when the women's Origin games are actually recording viewership of 2 million and more for each game. Like, that's real value to broadcasters. And so I think we need to actually acknowledge the importance of the women's game in this broadcast deal as well.
And Peter Vallandis, he's really credited, isn't he, for making these changes to the NRL to make it even more popular. I mean, he even took the game to Las Vegas.
Certainly global expansion has been something he's talked about a lot, but from what we've seen so far, Las Vegas has been pretty successful in terms of taking league to a new audience, but also adding something exciting and different for fans. I mean, I think some of the comments that he's made about, you know, having maybe a team in Europe or America might be a little bit far-fetched.
Who's to say that there's not, in 2050, that there's not a team in the NRL from Europe? That's the aim. Why isn't there one from America with changes in transport, changes in technology? The world's our oyster.
So. Having a team fly in or fly out from Europe or America might be a little bit too far. But certainly I think that a big part of this deal is around looking at global audience expansion. And I think that's also an important part of this deal that they really will be chasing is further global audience.
All right. And of course, in Australia, there are a lot of eyes on these NRL games. Now, the State of Origin, of course, was played this week. That just pulls a massive audience, doesn't it?
It does. Certainly the second game, there was over 6 million viewers in Australia, if you count the live free-to-air TV audience at its peak, and then also the streaming audience. And I think Origin has perhaps actually been undercapitalized as a broadcast product previously. And I think we're really seeing that come through in the ratings numbers now, and that's obviously really helped this deal. But it's pretty unique when you can actually get the best players from a club to come out of their club and play a representative game in the middle of a season. But this kind of Origin competition is quite unique, and we're really seeing the value come through now.
Right, so Peter Verlandis, he was in a pretty powerful position when it came to renewing the NRL's broadcasting rights. And of course, in the end, Foxtel and Nine won out. So just tell me then, Merrin, what do they get for $5.3 billion?
Well, they're actually getting pretty much the same they're getting now, except I guess obviously, of course, we have to forecast that there will be an extra game when the new teams come in.
Channel 9 retains the free-to-air rights, broadcasting three games a week with exclusive coverage of the men's and women's Origin and the NRL Grand Final. Foxtel will air all men's and women's matches live, excluding the Grand Final.
So I guess what we're seeing, though, is that the game has become more valuable, and that's why they are willing to pay more. I think also here the bidding process, Peter Verlandis, Andrew Abdo, the other people involved in this process really did create a competitive environment, and that did push up the value.
But the point is, isn't it, Merrin, that Foxtel and Nine really would have paid anything for this. They really can't live without the NRL, particularly Channel 9.
Exclusive, live, free.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been a few questions around, you know, is this actually worth the money for Channel 9 and for Foxtel and KO to have these rights? And I think the question really is, can you afford to give them up? When you look at Australia's media rights market and the sports that are leading, the AFL and the NRL are in those top positions because they do bring in the biggest audiences. And so really having those properties is really critical to your success as a broadcaster. And so that's why Channel 9, I think, really went in with the idea that they needed to retain this. And I think that obviously put the NRL in a great position to negotiate.
Yeah, and of course, Foxtel, it was also in a very powerful position itself because it has some huge money behind it right now, doesn't it? It's owned by a Ukrainian-born man, Len Blavatnik, who is very, very wealthy.
He is, yes, and is spending up very big on a lot of sports rights. DAZN has made some huge global deals. They're a huge global sports streamer, and they are basing their success on globally acquiring sports rights. So the fact that they have bought out the Foxtel Group, this is interesting too, because I think this is their first kind of involvement in a broadcast rights deal in Australia. There was potentially questions around whether they would find Australian sport maybe less valuable and the rights wouldn't be as important to them as some other international markets. But the fact that people involved in this afterwards have been talking about the use of DAZN's 200 international markets to bring the NRL into, I think it's interesting, and I think it seems like they are going to use the NRL as another premier sports product as part of their programming.
But it's not to say that there wasn't a furious bidding war behind the scenes. So what do we know about what went on behind closed doors before this deal with Foxtel and Nine was done?
Well, I think what we know is that the NRL were able to actually get Amazon involved in the bidding process. So Amazon has fairly recently said that they are going to get involved in sports rights. They've obviously got involved in getting an NFL game in America through Amazon Prime, obviously, their streaming service. And so it's another interesting foray. The streaming services have been a little bit hesitant. I mean, Netflix obviously is the world's biggest streaming service and has been quite hesitant to get into sports live rights. But in the last 2 years, they've actually acquired a number of events. So I don't think it's surprising that we're seeing Amazon enter this market as well. But the fact that Amazon were able to be in there as a bidder certainly, I think, increased the competition and increased the value for the NRL. There has been some comments that maybe Amazon were just sort of in there to inflate the value, but I think they're not putting in a bid just for the sake of it. They saw it as something that could be valuable to their platforms.
So, Miriam, this is a huge deal, but why don't we consider now who really ends up paying? Because won't at least Foxtel just pass this cost on to subscribers?
I think we've seen that this is obviously something that is front of mind for Foxtel and Kayo. It was some of the first questions that were asked at the press conference, and they were really on the front foot saying that they will aim to not increase prices for subscribers. Mm. Patrick Delaney from Kayo and Foxtel said that, you know, people keep asking me this and we keep saying, well, we're doing fine, we're thriving, we're doing all right.
I think we've got a good track record. You know, the entry-level price of Kayo has only risen once in nearly 9 years. It is very well priced and our goal is to keep it affordable.
It is going to be interesting to see how that plays out though, because actually when you look at the deal and how it's broken down, Nine have actually not paid a lot more cash for what they're contributing to the deal, whereas it was reported in the Sydney Morning Herald that Foxtel have to find an extra $1.8 billion to help fund this deal. So you have to think, well, where is this money coming from?
Well, of course, if you can't afford a streaming service, you do still get these three games on Channel 9. But, Merrin, that's really only because of the government's anti-siphoning laws, isn't it? They protect all sport being put behind a paywall.
They do protect most major events. They don't necessarily protect every single regular sort of round match. But I think in Australia, the Anti-Siphoning Act is quite unique. So I think if you looked at an environment like England, obviously their major sporting competition is the English Premier League, and you can't watch English Premier League matches on free-to-air TV. BBC have access to the highlights, but not matches. And so Australia is quite unique, I think, still in that we do still have a fairly large percentage of sport on free-to-air. And so I don't think that's in danger of changing. It will be interesting to see whether or not these broadcast deals that allocate so much money to the AFL and NRL end up costing other sports and their visibility.
Yeah, because for Nine, it is a really expensive proposition. I mean, its advertising revenue has been falling, and now there's these new gambling ad rules, which also presumably see a cut in its revenue. Do you think it or any other free-to-air network can continue to do this, say in 7 years' time when this deal is up again? Can they really afford to keep paying this huge money for sports like the NRL and the AFL for that matter?
It has been a conversation that we keep having. Have we reached a ceiling for sporting rights? And what we've seen, particularly over the last 20 years, is that it keeps going up and we have not. But what we have seen certainly, I think, is that there are sport products that are more valuable than others, particularly in Australia, obviously now the NRL and AFL. Mm. And perhaps there is a bit of a risk that those two sports will be the ones that are spent on and not others. I think, as you said, a lot maybe will depend on how the legacy media unfolds in the next 7 years, the reach that they will still have, the use of their own streaming platforms, how more fragmented the market is. But I think when it boils down to it, sport is still just such a valuable broadcast product. Mm. There is nothing else that gets people to tune in all at the same time. It really is kind of unmatched in what it does, and that's why they're able to command such high figures.
Merin Sherwood is a senior lecturer in sports media at La Trobe University. This episode was produced by Sydney Peede and Louise Mylan. Audio production by Anna John. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.